Monday, October 19, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:30.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Martin is absent. Tony is absent. Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
I will make a motion to excuse Tony and Marty. I spoke to Tony and advised he wasn't going to be here today. And he advised me that Marty wasn't, so.
I second it.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. So.
I called the meeting to order because the chair and not chair, vice chair were not here.
Are you okay if I just nominate
a pro tem chair?
You can nominate me, yeah. Yes, I just got a text from Marty. Would you call me with the phone tree at the beginning of the meeting? Whatever that means. With the phone tree? Is this the phone tree?
Your cell is fine.
Okay.
You can try that if you want.
Okay, I'll try that. Or should I just call myself?
Thank you.
It's the only one that can get it to work. So, Kevin, you?
I'll make the motion to have Janet be our acting chair for this meeting.
Larry, is that okay?
Marty?
Oh, Janet.
I made a motion for Janet to be the acting chair.
No, that's fine.
Second it?
Well, yeah, second it. With my blessing.
Can you hear me? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Janet, they nominated you, so are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay? Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're kind of short here today, Marty, so.
Yeah, I know. Like Dr. Tony.
Okay, all right.
Okay, Janet, you're on.
Okay, we'll start with a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the board meeting and is available for review for all citizens in attendance. The first item on our agenda is a tabled item. We have been reviewing the Resolution 20C-005 regarding a moratorium on wind energy farms in Dakota County. I believe that the Planning and Zoning Committee has that on their agenda for a tentative meeting, which is scheduled for tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran in Hubbard, provided people are healthy and able to attend. My thought was we were going to wait until that zoning committee had a chance to review the setbacks and things like that. We wanted to be fairly restrictive on that, so that at this point I would think we should leave it on the table till we get the results from that planning and zoning. Thoughts on that?
I'm in agreement.
Okay. Larry, is that all right with you too?
Yes.
Okay, public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear comments from about any item that's not on the agenda. So if anybody has any comments they'd like to bring forward on an item, we are, oh, yes, sir.
Troy Groves, about 4 or 5 months ago before.
What was that again? What's your name?
Troy Groves, Murphy Tractor. I was here about 4 or 5 months ago before all this started. I just thought I would come in and say hi again. If there's anything the board needs, be sure to give me a call. I have extra cards. I probably got them last time. And so, you know, that's all I wanted to do is just reacquaint myself because of the little hiatus there.
Yeah.
And sitting in our homes and doing all that stuff. So that's all I got to say. That's all I got going on. Nice seeing y'all.
Thanks for coming, Troy.
Thank you.
We appreciate your presence here today. Any other public comments from anyone? Okay. All right, we'll move to item number three, which is the consent agenda. Consent agenda at this point contains approval for the previous meeting minutes from October 5th, approval of accounts payable claims, and approval of officials' reports from the clerk, the registrar of deeds, and the clerk of the district court's office. I did have a chance to review most of the claims last Friday, and they appeared to be in order. And official reports are in order as well, I believe.
Okay, I will make a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
I can second that. Can I second? I think I can.
I'll second it.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Okay, new business on our agenda for today. We have item number A, approval of the payroll claims for October 4th through the 17th. I did just come in today a little earlier and review the payroll claims. There were, for the most part, they were in order. There were a couple of items that were asked for increase that were above the 2.5% or 2% that we had had approved, 2% of 35 cents. And at this point, I would say that we should consider just leaving them at what we'd already agreed upon, but open that for discussion. Are we going to more detail?
Yeah.
Okay, we had two. One was a clerk position that had already received the 35 cents and asking for another 2.5%. increase, and the other one was a chief deputy's salary that was going to be increased several hundred dollars. Had already gotten the increase for the 2% for the time frame, and is already above what normally a chief deputy would be per statute. I think it's 70% or something like that. It's about 90% of the official salary. So it seemed maybe a little higher than what would be typical for a chief deputy.
The statute just sets the minimum as well.
Oh, is that what it does?
Yep.
Okay, 70% is the minimum.
65.
Okay. Yeah, it currently sits around 90% of official salary.
What did that work out percentage-wise?
Percentage-wise, it wasn't a lot. You know, maybe right around 2.5 or something like that, in addition to what we already had been from the base. I mean, the base already went up, I would guess, 2%, so additional.
But that excess has also been donated, so it's covered.
Forever? That base can be covered forever?
For this year.
So
far.
If it goes back, then it would revert back to the...
Well, it can't revert back.
I mentioned that last time. I really feel like this does need to be reviewed. There's no doubt about that, how we do this.
And the board has the right by statute to set the chief deputy's salary.
I'd sort of see it be reviewed closely, real close, because there's other people out there who do for the 2% increase, and they say, well, they got 5.5%. I want 5.5%. I don't care. It's human nature to want more and more and more, and that's why we have a national debt of $27 trillion today. And Dakota County could wind up in a similar situation as Greece. we won't be able to borrow the money. You know, it's got to come to an end somewhere.
And I guess my feeling is as the constituents of this county, I mean, there's people in our county that probably have lost their jobs. They are on furlough. They are on reduced hours. And I'm not saying that the salaries are outstanding or stellar here, but I guess we have to think of our constituents and what maybe they're going through at this time. What's fair to them?
It's great for everybody to have a decent income, a livable income, but at this point in time, like you say, I think that we're maybe, we don't know where we're going to wind up be a year from now. Because people are going to want more and more because they're going to be out on the street. So then does the county pick up the tab and pay their way or feed them and house them? And if the federal government don't come across, is that going to be the case? I don't know.
Well, you guys know my feelings on this. If it's within their budget, it doesn't cause them to go over their budget. It doesn't create a hamper on next year's budget. And my feeling is that if it's there, the elected officials are free to use it. And I guess that's my feeling. If it's there, it's their budget. And I understand. You know, once you start giving out raises, naturally other people are going to want raises to line up with what they've got. And I think we just need to take a look at each case individually. I mean, a blanket raise is a good idea, but might not be feasible in practice. And did the elected officials requesting this, do they want to maybe come talk to us about this?
County attorney.
Yeah, so they...
Are they both out of your office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
These are the same items that were submitted previously by the county attorney. And I do appreciate that the board already approved the more substantial increase after the last meeting, but I would also like to say that the two that are before the board now are very, very modest by comparison. I would also, because I don't know that, and I know Commissioner Rohde is aware of this, but the Chief Deputy County Attorney is probably, I mean, she served as my Chief Deputy County Attorney when I was County Attorney over a decade ago. So to have an attorney prosecutor with that kind of longevity is anywhere in Nebraska is really unusual, and it's a very good thing. She may well be the longest serving attorney in the history of the county attorney's office. I don't know of anyone who served longer in any capacity, county attorney, chief deputy, or deputy, longer than the current chief deputy county attorney. I would hope that the board would consider that an asset for the county. I can tell you, I strongly believe law enforcement would. I strongly believe victims of crime in this county would. I know that at least two county attorney, or the current county attorney and a former county attorney myself, believe that she has been a great asset to the county. I think that the very modest increase, consistent with what the county attorney had suggested, is very reasonable. Even before the county received a significant donation to assist with this. With regard to the other staff member, legal secretary, as you all know, the county attorney's office recently lost a legal secretary to a law firm in the area, and that's one of the challenges with being the county attorney's office. The county attorney's office is unique in that it has to run a professional office that represents you all the department heads, and handles the prosecution matters, and as I mentioned before, you know, child and family situations in court, coroner calls. You know, I don't know that you all are aware, but well, I know Commissioner Rohde's aware. I believe, you know, Commissioner Albanese is aware that when someone passes away in the county, a member of the county attorney's office has to respond all hours, day and night. So I think these are very unique positions that are competing with professional law firms in the area. As I mentioned, the county attorney's office just lost a legal secretary because it wasn't able to match, actually even come close to what this law firm had offered. And the person that the county attorney has submitted a very, again, very modest increase for, very modest. The thought of losing yet another one is would really create problems for the county attorney's office functioning. And, you know, as I mentioned before, for all the reasons I'm grateful to the county, having grown up here, having served here when there was a vacancy in the office, the board appointed me. This board has appointed me on two prior occasions to serve as county attorney, so it's important for me the office be professional, that it continue to serve victims as well, that it continue to serve department heads and commissioners, just the overall constituents of the county. But and that's why I told you what I told you about believing in private and public partnerships, and that's why I followed through. As I think the clerk's office will tell you, I spoke with Ms. Spencer, you know, the clerk, immediately after the meeting, and met with her the next morning with my part of that, and then some. So I very much hope that the board would allow these very modest increases to help us have some consistency in the county attorney's office, which is very important.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate your comments, and I guess I feel like I need to have a better understanding myself of the whole functionality of the county attorney's office. I mean, just, you know, the fact that we have an official salary, a chief deputy, two additional deputies. I mean, I guess I don't know what standard and what's appropriate for this department, and before I'm willing to just, you know, hand out some more raises, I guess I would rather study it and kind of come up with a plan so that it would be systematic. You know, is this the base that it should be? Then we know that, rather than just each week get a couple more in, and
I mean, I don't think that's what's going on. I think it's the same three that the county attorney submitted from the start. Mm-hmm. That was prior to the board having received any private donation to help cover. The county attorney's budget was already more than capable of handling both of those, or all three of those submissions. And again, the two before you today are very, very modest. So these aren't new things. These are things that were previously submitted, and the board did not act on them. And again, that was, again, those were well within the budget that existed that you all set to begin with. And as I told you before, what Commissioner Rohde mentioned, the law is very clear. The board sets the overall county budget. The county officials set the salaries and wages for their staff members, which is appropriate because they're doing the oversight. So it's really, in my opinion, contrary to law for the board to dive in and meddle with what the department heads, the duly elected, mind you, the duly elected department heads are doing for the staff that they supervise.
We do have classifications for various clerks and levels of clerks. I mean, it's not just each department, there's levels. And that's kind of what we need to get our heads around. Maybe our levels are a little low, but it should be systematic, in my opinion, across the system and not just one department.
Well, with regard to legal secretaries, I don't think you'll see anything out of the ordinary with regard to what the county attorney has submitted. It's by no means an extravagant raise.
No, I would agree.
Even by the standards of this county.
You're right. I mean, it's
people have started higher than the secretary one I'm asking for, and that's, she's only some cent change away from the newest person, and she's been here for years. So it's kind of unfair.
My motion is to review the approve the payroll with as we approved as the commissioners, and then review the department, the county attorney's office, and review those levels at a later date. I mean, I feel like making that decision today.
The higher levels at a later date.
Right.
I think we're going to do that. I'd like to see us have something worked out by the next meeting. I mean, if we're going to wait, and we've known this has been going on for, how long have these requests been put in?
This is the first time that I'm aware of. I don't know.
This is the
Oh, no.
the last meeting.
No, they were submitted, I believe, with the original budget approval.
Oh, at the beginning when we basically let, that everything was 2% or 35 cents an hour, whatever was higher.
Yes.
So that's when they were originally, but we decided to be even and fair with everyone. But we need February, the union contracts come up again, and that might be a time.
I would rather not.
Between now and February?
I would rather not wait all the way to February to.
Okay.
But I mean, that's, I won't be around in February, so I guess.
Well, when we get a new board, when we get the new board elected in November, might be a perfect time to take a look at this stuff.
Well, we might not have those staff then either. You know, if you don't compensate people fairly in an office that competes with law firms in the metro area, you're going to lose qualified people.
What does it work out? The clerk, what's the overall yearly raise going to be, dollar-wise?
For which one?
The first one, the clerk.
Secretary, she is
going from
1463 or something to 15.
And she went 1428 to 15.
That was 5%. 75%.
5%.
75 cents.
So do you, 35 cents and then another.
And our newest person with zero experience is at 14. So that's, in my opinion, unfair.
Do you,
which is why I'm trying to adjust that.
Do you go off of a 2,080 hour work year?
We don't.
With $1,500.
Like, I don't do by hour, but.
Yeah, $1,500 a year raise.
That sounds right.
And then the chief deputy, what was her per hour raise?
Oh, per hour.
Thank you, Joan.
Went from 85,680 to 86.
It's just over 2%. It's like, I don't remember the exact dollars.
What was she?
100,000.
85,680 to
86.
100. We wish.
So well, hers would be $500 a year?
I mean, it's like, it's minimal, but yeah, it's
just over 2%. I had it all written on that initial request.
Is what they were both would be, in addition to what they already got, the 2% or 38 cents.
Okay. Thank you, John. Secretary would be going from 1463.
That's what it was increased to with the 35 cents.
Okay.
So that's an additional.
So another 37 cents an hour is what's being requested. $770 a year. And $320 for the year for the other one. Okay. And
which is already at 90% of the officials.
Yeah. So between the two of them, right around $1,100. And then do you care if I bring up what your.
No, I think.
What you had done the last time?
I think it's a public record. I mean, I don't mind.
That's what I took it as.
Yeah.
I, I guess if I remember my numbers right, do you care if I bring up the actual one? It's 7,500. And thank you for doing that, Ed. That shows being fully vested in the county, being willing to give money to the county.
Well, I appreciate that you all consider this and consider not only what the county attorney has told you and what I've been telling you about the need to keep staff who are experienced. I hope that you recognize the importance of that, not only for all the folks that work for the county, but also for any day of the week, as Commissioner Rooney knows, you have a fatality accident, you have some sort of a fatality homicide occurrence, right? It's these individuals who are involved in the prosecution of those offenses, and victims deserve to be represented well in court, and to have that experience is essential.
Yeah. And I don't know that public salaries can always be the same as what the private sector. I mean, it's a different.
Oh, they're nowhere close to the raises.
Absolutely. Nowhere close. I know that from my own.
Even with all these raises, exactly. You're not even close. Yeah. Don't worry about that.
It's kind of like one of those things where your heart is at.
Sure.
That's why they're still here, but feeling a little.
I'm not saying they're not worth it. I just feel like it should be more of an analysis of the department rather than.
I would love it if someone would do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, from.
And compare, like I mentioned last time, comparing to our counterparts who are our size and see how many attorneys are normal, make sure that we're. And in light, I don't even know how many, in light of the pandemic, how many, if the workload's been higher or lower, I mean, kind of get a feel for the overall scheme of things rather than just piecemealing.
Well, I think in this county, it's county attorney, and then a neighboring county, or it's not exactly neighboring, but nearby, Cedar County is county attorney. I can tell you there's nothing extravagant about what is being proposed by the county attorney. It's very reasonable and.
I
think there's always time to have a further analysis, but in the interim, if you lose staff, in essence, what you'd be doing is leaving money, donated for this specific purpose on the table, and I believe for which the auditor will look to see what's been done with it down the line. I mean, that's one of the reasons I was very specific when I made the contribution. There's already been the loss of one legal secretary. There was, I believe, the near loss of a very experienced deputy county attorney. And as I told you, I don't know of anyone who's served as long in any prosecutor's office as the current chief deputy county attorney, certainly not in Dakota County. So it's very important to keep, these people, and by no means are they making what they would make in the private sector, nowhere even close.
Well, I mean, from what I see that you've donated with the three raises in their entirety, it's still under what was donated. $400 less than what was donated, $410 roughly.
For a year, I mean.
Right.
Is that going to be a consistent donation?
I would hope not. I would hope we wouldn't have to ask a private citizen to give up their money to, so that we can properly run offices.
And we raise the taxes. I'll take care of it.
Well, the money was already in the budget, I guess. I mean, that's really the bottom line, is you'd already approved the budget to cover that. And then
we have do we want it? Is there a motion on the table that we should be addressing?
The only motion that's on the table, I remember, is in order to basically wait.
I can pull mine, but I guess somebody else needs to make one.
I mean, if you feel more comfortable not,
I made a motion to move forward with all of the items, including the accounts payable, except for the amount, the agreed upon amount at the beginning, and not the increases.
I'll second that. I already think that another additional 2.5%, if that's given throughout the entire county, all employees in the county, I think we're probably looking at $100 and some thousand a year increase in payroll. maybe more, maybe a couple hundred, 150. I guess I'm out of time to think it out and knowing the exact number of employees. How many deputies in the sheriff's department?
Total?
40?
No.
Seems like it. Every time I'm driving down the road, I see two or three deputies.
Let's make you feel safe.
That's why I go, I know that's why I don't speed.
That should be a, that should be a crown jewel in Dakota County that you have so much good law enforcement.
Yeah, I'm surprised we got any jailbirds coming here to go to court.
I think we've got 17 deputies.
Okay.
The jail staff, I don't know how many there is.
Yeah, we got, that's deputy, what, does that include the investigators and stuff? 17.
Yeah, that's everybody. That's including the sheriff.
20, 17.
I believe it's 17.
Probably 30 altogether. Yeah, the sheriff's department.
Might be more than that.
And the jail.
There's 35, just 35-ish in the jail.
35.
But,
anyway.
You know, people can still.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Joan.
That's good.
The reality. Yeah, you're right.
That's okay.
Okay. Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Kevin.
No.
Marty.
No, I.
Can I make a motion that we review the more in-depth analysis of the departmental salaries we can make? Or should we wait till we have a few more people at the table?
That's what I would say.
I think we need to have a few more people at the table, but I do think we need to review this since it seems to be coming back to us.
What would you like to see in the review? Do you like to see?
I'd like to see a comparative from other counties that are similar. How many attorneys do they have? How many deputies do they have? How many admins? Yeah, I mean, it just seems to me that our county attorney's office, and it's a very important office, don't get me wrong, but compared to our public defender's office is
well, staff. There's also multiple public defenders appointed.
Yes.
So, I mean, in reality, if you just kind of compare the apples to oranges, there'd be, what, 12, 13 public defenders?
And see, that's what I need to
get. If there's a conflict,
I need to
yeah,
get ahead, my head around that.
They'll appoint somebody else. But
right, that entire
they do
list.
Criminal cases, we do everything.
Right, yeah. You have a more
huge
of a broad,
difference.
Broader with
they're
with
not
the board,
on file. Yep.
With the coroner, I understand. Yeah, that's why I need to get, I feel like I need to have a better understanding before.
Now, I'd like to see a little input from Tony and Marty.
Right, I would agree.
Myself. I know we didn't get it discussed like it should have been, probably. But
so maybe before one of our next meetings, we have a prior meeting on that review of the.
Was that a quorum?
Oh, I see what you're saying. As part of our finance committee, maybe? The finance committee?
Or the. Okay.
So we.
Our pay scales.
So we need to.
Are they public record?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
we've
could,
given a bunch during budget.
Yeah, so we could just get online and pull up other counties that are comparable to us.
We could pull the stuff back from June because I know you gave us some information back when we started the budget. Okay, so item number three, have we moved on that? Have we done that?
Item number three.
Or the consent agenda items?
Yes.
Yes.
The consent is done.
Consent's
done.
A is done. A is done. So B.
Where are we at? Consent agenda B? Accounts payable. I thought we just did that.
New business.
B. New business.
New business B.
B. All right. 1 o'clock. Open
thanks,
and award.
Thanks, Ed.
Bid for third party administrator. To administer health insurance claims. All proposed fees and costs must be disclosed in the proposal. Bidders may be disqualified for failure to adhere to the RFP submission, bidding requirements, and our instructions. So do we have some RFPs, third party administrator? Okay, two packets. Okay, the first one is from Mid-American Benefits. appears to have, we had this lengthy list of questions, appears to have a lot of that information. Not sure what I'm really looking for is a total. So we've got a proposal from Mid-American Benefits, Matt Woolenwaber and Robert Rapp. I think we have a committee that will probably want to review these, is what we have to have organized. So that's one. I think this may have been our prior.
Is there a dollar on
it? Not a total.
Okay.
It's by.
It's broken down.
Proposed fees.
Summary of flat fee. Somebody else want to take a look at this and see if they can figure out where the total is?
Thank you, Janet.
Yes.
That's Robert.
Oh, okay.
Did you want to come up and talk about this at all? Yeah. Maybe walk us?
Yep, I brought it up the other day. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you're looking for the fees, they're basically outlined in question seven.
Yeah.
That's where your fees, and that they'll correspond with. Mm-hmm.
The questions,
yep.
That
exactly.
Was for each of those,
yeah.
Categories.
Yeah, that's the main thing. I think you'll see the biggest difference. Is going to be in some access fees, some PPO access fees. I think that's where you'll see the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. But I think we're pretty confident the fees will be less than what you're paying now.
Okay.
So, but I didn't ask her any questions, but again, the questions were pretty specific, so.
Right.
Yeah, so we're glad to answer any questions that you have.
And we appreciate the bid, and mm-hmm. We have a committee that we will probably pull together to kind of take a look at this as well as another one we have here. All right.
Does this have to be done by a certain date? The bid need to be awarded by a certain date?
I think we asked for it to come to this meeting so we'd have a week or so to get our committee together.
I mean, it's not like all of a sudden January 1st will roll around. And
it's still March. I think
I think it's feasible to do it at the next meeting.
Yeah.
11-2.
What kind of a time frame is the couple all expect
something that we had to do it today?
I would.
My understanding was that you were trying to get so you did have a January 1st. Effective date, right. For the administrative fees. Your plan does renew in March. Mm-hmm. The plan, the health insurance plan, but you also have calendar year deadlines with your flexible spending account, mm-hmm. And other things. That's why the third party administrative services. That's why we want. That's why I'm understanding that those are going to be effective as of 1/1.
So a little more lead time to get.
Yes, because then you'll have the third party administrator will have time to start getting renewals for the March 1st effective date.
Right.
We talked about a lot of different things, but moving the effective date till 1/1 and everything else. So, mm-hmm. But that's why, again, you separate the insurance side of it from the administrative services side.
Right.
Yep. That's what you're going out for bid here, yes.
Mm-hmm. The cost.
That the hard costs, the hard costs that are associated. The rest of it is how your claims go out during the year. Mm-hmm. So that's what the difference is. That's why I know Joan wanted to move and have this effective as of 1/1.
1/1.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we should be able to get that committee back together after having these and kind of review our options and see. What appears to be the
So
I think we have representatives from the sheriff's department and roads department. And
thank you. There's their fees, and the rate guarantee is for 12 months. It looks like he's even got the March 1st mm-hmm. on that. So. That's generally
set up fees and optional service fees. claim administration.
Yeah, that'd be what we need to look at and compare.
Yeah, like I said, if there's any specific questions, like either I can walk you through, or so we can have the president of MidAmerican be here to go through those in general. So
we might need that depending on how when we lay these side by side, the terminology is sometimes.
Well, again, the where you're going to find it is, I've got the same thing you do, is section 7. Those are optional fees and stuff on the back. But the meat, let's say, of the proposal
right here.
Or I guess it is broken down here too.
Yep.
On the front. Same amount.
Yep.
It's question form, and this is the actual numbers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thanks, Kevin. I forgot those were in the back.
Group Resources, Amy Kleinberg. And sample reports included in this one as well. And then the TPA levels, administration levels, etc. Is Amy here? See any comments from Amy?
No, she's not here.
Amy's not here. Okay. All right. Well, I think this information can probably be reviewed by our committee. We've got two sets of numbers that we can cross-reference and see, there might be some that are higher in one and some of the vice versa. We can kind of analyze what seems to be a fit for the county. And both of these parties will be available, I'm sure, to answer questions as we get through those. So, Group Resources and Mid-American Benefits. Anything else, Joan, that we need to go through that relates to this?
I think you need to make a motion on what you're going to do.
Make a motion?
If you want to refer it to committee.
Have two packages that we will review with the committee on the Health Insurance Committee that has met a couple of times. We'll maybe set that meeting between now and the next meeting. Reach out to those representatives and review this. I'd like to make a motion that we review this between now and the next meeting with our Insurance Committee.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
There's those packages. Do we need to duplicate this for that meeting, or are we worried about that? Gotcha. Okay. Item number C is, anything else on that item? B, okay. Item C, open and award bid for the Ponderosa Lane overlay project. Fred?
How's Freddy?
Good. Have two bids for Ponderosa Lane, Knife River and Barkley Asphalt. First one is Barkley. This is for a 2-inch overlay His bid is $34,750. Second one is Knife River.
Well, they should be spilling enough asphalt going down the highway. We could just...
Knife River's bid is $35,240.55.
Very close.
Those sound correct, Freddie?
Collusion.
Yeah, very close.
Both right there.
What's the start and completion date?
Start is as soon as the bid is awarded. Completion date is January 1st, weather permitting. And days like today and the forecast might not get done this year by completion time. We put it on there. If the weather stayed good, they had time. I let both contractors know when they were bidding it that no feet would be held to the fire if it did not get done because of weather.
How long does it take to get the more contracts ordered out?
How long would it take?
Get the contract out to the contractor.
Almost immediately after it's awarded.
So we can make the award today.
Yeah. The way I usually do it is the contract is not out to them, Larry, but they know they're awarded the bid, so.
Because it could, get past the next week or 10 days, we don't know. We could have 2 weeks of really decent weather.
We could have a month of it, yeah.
Have they done anything down on Omaha?
It started today.
What a deal.
Who did our last Over Lake project out in Tompkins?
Barkley.
Yeah. I mean, they're both right there.
We've had both contractors, not a problem with either one.
Yeah, I haven't heard any issues. Would Knife River be using their same little setup?
Probably come out of Sioux City and pull that stuff out over there. They moved it out. I don't know where they went west.
Oh. Do you got a preference?
I do not. I usually like low bid.
Low bid.
That's Barkley.
That would be seem like the easier thing to do.
I think that's part of the bid process. Here, there's not much to squabble about between difference of quality of work. So,
just when was the last time Ponderosa was overlaid? When was the last time Ponderosa was overlaid? It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. That might be the original stay-built stuff that was in there. It's not even...
Yeah. Okay.
It's been patched and... But as far as an overlay, Tompkins additions, that's catching us up where I think we only got one stretch left that has not have been overlaid in the last 10 years now.
All right. Well, I will make a motion to award the bid to Barkley in the amount of $34,750.
I can second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Freddie.
Awesome. So that'll get started right away then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll work out.
It'll be out there tomorrow.
All right. So item number D is there anything in here, particularly a letter?
No.
Okay. Item D, Jeff Curry's assessor is requesting the board to accept his letter of resignation. So just to E at the same time or just one at a time?
I would do one at a time.
Is Jeff here to talk about that yet? Jeff?
Oh, I'm sorry, guys, I don't have a letter.
Okay. It says a letter.
Put something right in, you'll get in trouble, don't you? No.
Presentation.
Yeah, this is actually going to be brief. For me, this is rare. This is going to be a real brief statement. So basically, the reason is I'm going to be changing my address outside of the county. If I don't live in the county, then I can't be the assessor.
Oh, okay.
Is what it is. So I haven't worked out anything beyond that other than to make sure you guys know that. So I have two addresses now. So I'm bouncing back, and I've spent a week at the Delta, and I'm staying around town a little bit and then working on the weekends in back in Cedar County and Laurel. So,
oh, okay.
So I'm in and out, and I've been working with Christy and the office and the staff, kind of working out how things are going to go, and that way we can come up with a new assessor for you. I don't want to leave the county in a lurch or anything like that. Okay. But I would, and I don't know how it works with special everything else, but I know in the past, like when Richard left, I think I did 2 years for Richard, I believe, if I remember correctly. But I would make a record. We have people in the office, and one in particular, the deputy assessor now has been here over 20 years, licensed, and very, very good. Better than I am, actually. So a more well-rounded candidate to be an assessor. So that's Christy Apps.
Okay.
So I would, you know, for the ease of the board, and I'm not sure what we're going to have to do legally, but we do have somebody that's fully capable of doing it. And our two new clerks, our clerk twos actually now, have all been into training, taken tests, and passed them. So they're both scheduled to be taking the assessor exam as well.
Okay.
So I anticipate by the end of this year, or the first part of next year, you're going to have three more licenses in the county, or two more licenses, a total of three.
Oh, wow.
That's for you to help with.
Great.
And I've told the office I'm around for anything they need me with or for as well, too.
So what is your official date of transition? Or do you have a date yet?
As soon as I can live in the house.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I'm working that out with them. I mean, it could be the end of this week.
Okay, so we're coming up in the
And I'll get an official. I think I have to, and maybe Kim could. I think I will write an official letter, though. I think I have to do that. I just want to follow the rules. I got to call Ruth at the state yet too, and talk to her a little bit, so she knows what's going on as well, just in case from a coverage standpoint.
Okay, so the details are kind of still getting ironed out.
On a little bit. I just want to make sure the board was aware of it and that it was going. I know a couple other people have known about it or talked about it, and I wanted to start the transition to get off the insurance and those things too. I have my own, so I didn't want any of that hanging over for the county either. So
thank you.
So that part of it's all been taken care of. I turned all that paperwork into Jones' office already. So
golly,
yep.
I've been
here a long time. There's been Currys in this county, I don't know, four generations or more now. Actually, my grandpa's parents were here. So back when it was Covington, actually in South Sioux. So we go back a long way, but the boss is from Cedar County, so I follow the boss.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Been a pleasure. All right, thank you guys.
We miss you.
Do you need a motion on that? A motion to accept his resignation with details to follow? We have a letter.
Let's see.
There's no date.
Can't accept it right now?
I don't know how you would.
Okay, so basically, we can't do E either, then we'll have to table those until we have an official date for transition.
Okay, so
D and E will. We are aware of the situation and we'll finalize, table those until we have a final date and then able to appoint a replacement. But thank you, Jeff, for your service, and good luck to you in Cedar County. Yippee.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff.
So we'll table D and E for the final details. But a good transition plan, thank you. Miscellaneous, down to miscellaneous items. Item A is Fred the Highway Superintendent, the road report. And we have that in our pile here.
Instead of tabling, do you want to just put it on the next?
Oh, agenda, move it forward to, good idea. It'll be on old business from next time, sorry.
Does that work?
Do we need to do a motion?
Table it?
Not if you, if you table it, yes. If you just want to put it on the next agenda, then no.
Move it forward, yep. Move it forward. Good idea, thank you.
October 4th through the 17th, 305 total hours of road maintenance, tree removal and debris, 75. Bridge maintenance, 30. Magnet 2, gravel hauling, 209 tons. Barricades, signs, 15 hours. Road concern, grading grant. There's been other, since harvest has started, minimum maintenance roads. A few of the roads needed graded, but that's about it.
Is grant the name of a road?
Yes.
Runs past Troy Longsby's. It's a dead end road. Cuts back into the hill.
Okay, all right.
And the bluff.
Fred, what's the plan for the bridge on the county line out there?
The far north one. I had a plan to fix it and an emergency bid. I called Marty. He said he didn't feel comfortable accepting an emergency bid to go ahead and fix it. That's where it is right now. He said he was going to talk to the rest of the board about it, and I have not heard anything since then.
Is there FEMA money involved in that?
Who?
FEMA money.
No.
It's all our deal?
Yeah, it's on federal aid roads, so FEMA doesn't touch that money.
Who did the engineering on it?
JEO. They have a design to fix it already. Is to basically to replace the whole south abutment and then repair the north abutment. There's the damage done on the bridge is the reason it's closed.
We're going to take the bridge out and replace it?
Just the way I understand, Larry, not the whole bridge, just they're going to dig back, take the abutment out, put in new pilings, they'll put a hole in the deck, go down right next to the old pilot.
Yeah, okay.
Is what I was told.
How are they going to address the springs that are in behind that head wall?
That I don't know. Since they don't know, they told me, the engineer told me that the damage came from debris. And it's twisted the piling and let the back wall fail.
Well, the H pile are bowed like a bow and arrow, or a bow.
And he says that's from
that's where the pressure's from behind it. In the
he said it has twisted it from the debris and let it move down.
Really?
That's what my engineer said.
Well, you can see where all the joints of the sheet line, where the water in the spring ran out over the years of all the high moisture or all the rainfall. Whatever.
So is that item B that we just talked about or no?
No, I didn't talk about
that. Okay, something different, okay. So the road report, thank you for that. And then item B, are we ready for item B?
Is that the bank stabilization?
Okay, board to approve, chair to sign change order number one for the Dakota County Jackson Bank Stabilization. C00222-1710, and I think we've got change.
They said there was extra scouring, and they just needed more fill dirt, which was 430 cubic yards, something like that.
Okay.
That's what the change order is on it.
So an additional $4,000 for additional material and... Okay, so
the material,
and will haul the material.
An additional 432 cubic yards of earthwork at $10 per cubic yard. So it would increase the total cost by $4,000. I guess I can't remember what the, I mean, not that it's probably water under the bridge now, but what the, this was the lowest off bid at the time.
This will be in addition to the $103,000, whatever his bid was. That'll be an addition to it. Mm-hmm. There is a change order for more yardage. The engineer said it was because it sloughed off more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think from the time they designed what had to be done, we had that creek was about full. It took more material out of the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where the shortage come up. Because
see, I think that they miscalculated the yardage.
It might have, but see, we had some real high water this spring after it was started on the design, you know?
Yeah, and that could be it.
That could have took up some, you know.
But anyway, that's what that's for.
That's what it relates to.
It's just an addition to the what.
Is this normal procedure? I guess this is the first time I can remember doing one of these.
It's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon. Do we need a motion for that to?
I'll make a motion to approve the chair to sign change order number one.
I'll second it.
All right. Motion second.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. All right, and then our item C is the Sheriff Kleinberg, the monthly jail report, and I think that is in our packet as well here. Sheriff Kleinberg.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
September average inmates per day, county 61, federal 37, 0 juveniles, total 98 in house, 20 calendar, county inmates were 56, federals 35, 0.12 juveniles and 91 in-house, and so far the fiscal year average 57 county, 37 federal, 0 juveniles and 94 in-house. Federal income for marshals in September was $72,788, ICE $1,819, Omaha Marshals, South Dakota Marshals 195, and September federal together was $74,803. So far, since July 1st, marshals 220,000, ICE 6,000, other marshal services 195, and so far fiscally 226,000. Calendar federal 644,000 so far in the calendar year. September contract $738, and fiscal county contracts 4,000. July phone commissary, phone and commissary, so that's a phone and, is $9,480 they bought. So the cost per inmate in September was $60.62 a day. We spent $181,000 for the month of September. The jail's at 24% of total estimated budget. We're 1% under budget so far for the fiscal year, and 27% of the estimated yearly budget. We spent $35,965 less than allotted for September, which kept us 16.5% under budget for the month. Dakota County, our bookings for September was 18 for the sheriff, 35 for the PD, 8 for the NSP, self-cert 21, feds 22, and other 2. Dakota County, 42 of those people were from Dakota County. Other Nebraskas were 18. 26 of those people were from Sioux City. Other Iowa cities, 10. Other states, 8. And homeless, 2.
This is the lowest cost per day for a long time.
Yes, it is. And it's, I got to warn you, we're maxed.
Oh.
So as a matter of fact, we're deciding this morning, who goes first, our inmates or feds? And the feds are going to start going because we're
full
max. So this income stuff is going to be a thing of the past with our jail filling up like it is.
With more of our own?
Yeah. Hmm.
What particular cause is that?
The jail to fill up?
Yeah, I mean, is there an incident or?
Just been busy.
Just busy?
Yeah, just busy, and bad guys go to jail.
More bad guys, huh?
More bad guys.
Did them four guys in South Sioux that was doing the shooting, did they wind up down here? Or they,
they will.
Well, what are
they
now?
Here now? I don't know. That's something, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah,
right, we snagged them outside the Sallyport here. Of course, our name wasn't mentioned in the news, but they're the ones that did it. It's okay, I'm not looking for...
I'm talking to you.
Interesting.
No, I don't think he even wrote about it, did he?
Yeah, it was in the paper.
It wasn't in the Star?
Maybe it was
five, in the Star. Five guys.
And I want you to know that the Journal put out... The Journal called me 2 months ago wanting to know what the race of the people that worked for Mueller were. Now, I'm not kidding you on this. I literally said, you're nuts.
Worked for who?
They wanted to know all the races of the people that worked for me. So the Journal Star, Omaha World Herald, and the Sioux City Journal were doing this big compile of law enforcement and what races are the people that work there. I flat out said, I don't ask, don't want to know. I could care less what their race is. They said, well, we'll call the clerk. And I said, she's not going to know. So they put numbers in the paper. I don't know where they got them because I don't give that information out. That's like them calling me up and saying, hey, what religion is everybody that works for you? To me, that makes my stomach churn. I'm sick thinking about it. Now, they did put something in there.
When was this? Is
it
in the paper?
I was told it was Sunday. In Sunday's paper.
Sunday's paper? Oh, I still have it. Look, I honestly didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
I got to tell you, I am just floored. I don't know where they got this because they didn't get it from me. They didn't get it from no one in my office. I don't ask race. That I could care less what your race is or your religion for that matter.
Kind of the demographic profile or something?
I don't know what they were doing, Ms. Gill. It floored me when he called me and asked me that. And he was stammering because he knew that's what I was going to answer.
So he says,
all the other agencies cooperated. I said, well, then talk to them because I'm not. And they put the ad, I just heard this morning that it was in yesterday's paper. How? I don't know where they've got. I don't know if they, did they come and ask you what your race was?
Nope.
So how can they determine?
Maybe when you fill out your application, don't...
It don't sound on there.
It's not. You can't ask it.
If it was on there, Jen, I would have crossed it off because it doesn't matter to me.
You can't ask.
Okay. That seems unusual, Ben.
No.
I'll look at the paper. I didn't notice that when
I don't
reported. Okay.
Well,
I appreciate your...
Maybe it was Marty.
Your report. Yeah. Interesting.
It's nauseating to me when we're going to ask people what their race is. Anyway.
Thank you for your report. It looks good. Item number D on the agenda, miscellaneous agenda. Fred Kellogg, once again, you're going to present your road study regarding the vacation and abandonment of 240th Street County Road running east and west between O Avenue and Odell Avenue, sections 8, east half section 8 and 17, and township 27N, range 7E. All right.
I actually forgot my copy of the letter.
Of the letter? Okay.
I got it on my phone, but basically it is the road has been closed because of the structure. I've been directed by the commissioners of October 5th. A portion of the road the county desires to vacate as a minimum maintenance road. Construction of a flood control structure will flood the water over the roadway, making the roadway impassable. Said public road is not used by the public and has no value to the public and is therefore serves no purpose for it to remain open. By vacating the aforementioned road, liability can be and will be reduced for the county. It does not appear that vacating said road will not landlock any landowners in this section. My recommendation after study is to abandon road and turn it back to the adjacent landowners.
So the landowners have already been contacted and are well aware? Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you for the review and the recommendation. Do we need to accept this recommendation, or do we just present and submit? Do we need a motion on that, or is it just noted that he recommended abandonment?
That's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're good on that. Thank you, Fred, for doing the research and getting the approval. Item number E, approve resolution 20C-025 to set time and date for the public hearing to vacate or abandon the road that we just talked about. And that resolution 20-C has set, a public hearing will be November 16th at 1:05 in this room. And it will be advertised for 3 consecutive weeks before that public hearing on November 16th.
All right. I will make a motion to approve resolution 20C-025.
I'll second it.
All right. Thank you.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. So November 16th, it is. All right. Item number F on the miscellaneous agenda is Natasha, Health Department Director, going to give her quarterly report for us. Welcome.
Hello. Okay.
Quarterly report.
So much has happened.
Excited. Yeah.
Okay, so our Board of Health will meet October 22nd. One big note, we received COVID funds, over $200,000 in COVID funds for our staffing and infrastructure, and that was Nebraska money, and now it is switched over to federal. So we're undergoing an audit currently. Is it Deloitte? So we're just awaiting a response on that. Some grant updates. So for our preparedness, we'll receive $60,000 in some grant funds, and that'll be expended throughout the year. We're working towards our public health accreditation grant. We're currently working on our quality improvement plan. This will be presented to the Board of Health when we get that done. We're also in process of building a quality improvement committee within our health department. So trying to get all aspects of the health department, from the community health workers to the nurses and the secretary, to help us build our quality up. Lead, we received a supplemental grant for some lead testing to be done in the water system in the schools and in daycares locally. So we're starting to get that going. It's difficult with COVID because the school staff is very, very thin right now. So it's kind of had to be put on the back burner, but we'll get it moving along again. Immunization clinic, we continue to offer our immunizations to the public. We're gonna be holding 7 mass immunizations for the public, all shots from 6 months to whatever age are free this year for adults and children. So we'll be doing 7 of those sites. Jackson Fire Department, just kind of different areas, trying to catch those high-risk people. Part of that grant is that we also have to put out information in COVID, so we're creating flyers and information for the public on that as well. But all dates are TBA at this point. West Nile, that's ended for the year. We didn't really have any issues with mosquitoes, many mosquitoes this year. We had no positive West Nile cases in our county, whether invasive or non-invasive. Making connections, that's pretty much been on hold. So that's our veteran capabilities within the county, to make connections with them. We also have an opioid grant. We're still continuing to build our relationships. Again, everything was pretty much thrown in the air when COVID hit. We've been a very, very busy group, and so some of those grants got put on the back burner. But the state is supporting that and giving us extensions on everything. Minority Health, we have a Diabetes Academy. We receive referrals from Southern Community Health Center to find individuals that have a higher A1C or a blood glucose average of over 6.5 to try to get those people under control. Radon services will be starting up again here pretty quick. For surveillance, so just a little bit of information on COVID. I could stand up here and talk about COVID all day long, but I'll try to minimize it. So there's 687 positive COVID cases since July 1st, and that's through October 12th when I did these numbers, so it's higher now. And again, as of October 12th, we had a total of 2,421 positive tests. As we build capacity, we hope to be able to kind of hone in on the data to know the exact ages and the age groups and the ranges so we can kind of see where it's happening. I don't know if you guys have heard, but the directed health measures that the Governor Ricketts had laid out yesterday include some going backwards. I think everybody has kind of a copy of that. That's because it's spreading, and it's spreading pretty quickly in Nebraska, and the reason that we are seeing that is because of family gatherings, weddings, funerals, get-togethers at homes, parties. It's not the school. The school is having positive cases, but it's not that bad. We work very, very closely with the schools to try to mitigate the spread at all times with that. So there'll be a lot of changes. I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions from the public. We're trying to answer them as they come up. I talked to Kim about, I sent an email to Kim about this a little bit ago because I was trying to figure out for sure what to do on that. We've gotten a couple of complaints that some people were not following the DHM or the directed health measures last time that they were in place, and so they're concerned that that'll be the problem again. And after receiving the email back from Kim, I'm under the understanding that we do not have to have a memorandum of understanding, but if someone believes someone is breaking the law by not abiding by the directed health measures, that we just need to contact law enforcement or direct them to contact law enforcement. So hopefully we get a little bit more compliance this time around, because last time we didn't get much. So we're hopeful.
So like the indoor gatherings, that'll be limited to 50%. So that's kind of what you're talking about. If somebody notices something, they can...
Yes, and the plan, so there's a plan. If you have over 500 guests, you're supposed to submit a plan to us. It's an educational tool to make sure you're doing anything you can to mitigate the spread. But we haven't really been getting those either. So
I would think, yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Totally moving forward. Couple other COVID issues. We currently have 4 members on our COVID response team. We have 1 regular team member who's been with us, Teresa Grove. 2 temporary positions and then 1 2-year contracted position. We received $240,000 from the state of Nebraska for infrastructure. So we get 2 employees at a prorated rate to house for 2 years. We have expanded our space to the room next to the break room. So I have 2 staff members in there, room for 3. But there's a lot of COVID funding, so it's all kind of been built around that. So we're expecting to have another person in, and then as of January 1st, they're going to discuss if there's more money for us for the CARES Act, because they're really trying to boost up the employees within the health departments to do this contact tracing on all these lovely cases. The only other thing is the immunizations that we conducted. We vaccinated 135 children with 377 vaccines, and we immunized 3 adults with 4 vaccines. Again, that was in the midst of COVID, so our numbers are pretty low there, but we're back open full force.
But you're having 7 clinics.
Yep.
In 7. The next coming up. Like.
Yep, it has to be done, I believe, by April. We have to have all those done.
Okay. So we've had the 687. How many people have recovered? How many
That's are a still? Great question. So recovery is kind of a not well-defined term. So we haven't really done recoveries for all of this time, because somebody could continue to have symptoms beyond 30 days. Out of those 687, I could not give you an estimate. I know more than half are recovered, but I don't have a close enough number to give you an exact.
Okay.
We're working on getting that information. Again, as we're expanding our staff and increasing our what we're capable of, and we'll have that.
Do you know how many negative tests we've had?
I do. It's around 11,000. I can't remember the exact number, but it's around 11,000 negatives. Our positivity rate for this week, so meaning positive cases based on overall cases, we're at 25%, which is very high. This week and last week, we saw that number increase dramatically from even the start of school. It's really, really risen. And then our 2-week positivity rate in the last 14 days is around 15%. And we don't want either one of those numbers above 10. So we have a lot of people testing, but we're getting a lot of positives too.
Is it the quick test or the standard?
It's a mixture of both. So there's antigen testing that the nursing homes are doing, and then there's the standard that most of the doctor's office are doing. There's a couple of, like Mercy Medical and I believe St. Luke's both, or Unity Point, excuse me, do the antigen testing, and that's where you get your results within a half hour.
Wow.
Okay.
So 25% in the last week. That's
roughly, yeah.
Getting here right now, huh?
Yeah, again.
Are you seeing a difference in the people showing up to be tested are not feeling well already, or are we just, you know, people just going in for their own knowledge to know if they have it or not?
The majority of cases that we're seeing currently are symptomatic, and that is different than what we saw round one back in April, May.
Okay. I mean, that would make sense that you'd have a higher percentage if you already feel sick and you're going to get tested.
Yeah, and we're having a lot more testings too because flu season's starting, right. And so people confuse flu symptoms with COVID.
Sure.
So sometimes they just have COVID and we thought it was flu.
How many of the hospitalizations in the hospitals of Sioux City would be from here?
I believe right now we have a rough estimate about 10 people in both hospitals. So we do the dial that we have to. It also configures in the ventilator availability and the ICU bed availability. So we're sitting at about 47%. I think I may be off on those percentages for the ventilators that are available to the public. The ICU beds are a little bit less than that. I think they're at 30%. Again, I'll have to check my numbers to be certain. But they're getting very busy over there, and so they serve, you know, of course, Dixon County, Lamar's, Plymouth County, all of them, so they're busy.
Thank you for all you've been doing, Natasha.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
You're busy.
Thank you.
I got
to meet one of your hires.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Good. Hopefully she was pleasant.
Miss Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
She seemed nice.
Busy.
Thank you.
All right, so Natasha's been busy. Obviously, lots going on there. Item number G, the board to approve the written report of a surplus sale of a sheriff radar speed trailer. I was thinking we did this last time, but maybe not.
You approved it for surplus, got sold, so then the report has to come back.
Oh.
To whom and how much.
Okay. So last time when we talked about putting it on there, now we've actually sold it for $1,500, right?
Yep.
So we... I guess the value, I mean, it's, we sold it for $1,500. I'll make a motion to accept that sale.
I'll second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes. Okay, item number H, the board to appoint a member to the Planning and Zoning Commission to complete the term of Warren Hazing. I believe that he moved for the term of October 20th to February 16th to get us into next year. And we do have some applicants, correct? Are they in the file here?
Yes.
Well, here we go. Okay. So we have application for membership. Okay. So we have one vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Committee. And it looks like Tim Decker has put in an application for that, Planning and Zoning.
I've spoken to
and
Tim.
Gordon Peggy.
Oh, in the back. Oh, there's another one. And Gordon Peggy. Yeah, people have put in for that position.
Yeah, I've spoken with Tim, and
Justin.
I mean, I've known Tim for a while. He's very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Very thorough. Does a lot of research. If you do need to talk to him, you always answer his phone.
Uh huh.
I've not spoken with Gordon Heggie. Was there a recommendation from our current planning and zoning? I don't see one.
Yeah, would they review these, John, or do we kind of try to get representation?
They asked Warren to find somebody to replace himself.
Okay.
And he found Gordon. And then we advertised, and Tim mm-hmm. submitted the application. He actually submitted it for both the zoning, Board of Adjustments and zoning.
Okay.
Yeah, and I spoke to Tim again, and he expressed much more interest in the
zoning.
In the zoning.
Yeah, okay. He told me the same thing. He would prefer the zoning appointment over the...
So we have, we have two spots to fill on the Board of Adjustments and one to fill on the planning and zoning. So we have three applicants, but Deb only wants the adjustment. And the other two are applying for either or both?
Tim applied for both. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk to Jordan Hagee if he would be willing to do adjustment. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do we need to get the chair of these groups to,
it's the board's responsibility to appoint.
Do we need to look at that we have a distribution from different areas of the county? Is that desirable?
It is. They're both in the correct geographical district.
They are.
Both
okay.
Tim and Gordon.
Okay. So Gordon put in just for one for the planning and zoning, and Deb only put in for one, the adjustment, and Tim put in for potentially both.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My understanding is that he had put in for the, when he had put in for the adjustments, he didn't know that the planning and zoning, or he had put in prior to the planning and zoning becoming open. I'm not sure how that worked.
He submitted them both at the same time.
Oh.
He's applied for zoning several times. I mean, it's been you know, the last time that geographical location came up, he made an application also. So he's been expressing interest for quite a few years.
Okay.
I guess if we feel comfortable accepting a motion without speaking to planning and zoning.
They're aware of this. They sent them to me.
They sent them to you. Okay. Anybody from here from planning and zoning?
No. Mm-hmm.
And maybe we
could. Oh, go ahead, Jen. No, go.
They want an appointment for tomorrow's meeting.
I was gonna make a motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll make a motion to appoint Tim Decker to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay. I can second that.
Do you have any concerns, Larry?
Where do you live?
Tim lives out on Nottoway, off the river.
Oh, clear out there.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I guess it's fine with me. He'd surely have to, he'd know what road is right, be 6.5 miles from highway.
Yeah.
You know, and that's harder, you know, being involved in the care and condition of them and areas surrounding.
Okay, I'll call roll. Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay,
so we put Tim in work for Warren then, right?
Yep.
Okay. And do we notify him or does he get a letter from us?
Somebody probably gets a letter.
I'll send him.
Because the meeting is like tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we get him.
I can get a hold of him too. Yeah. What time is the meeting?
Seven.
It's the 10 and Trinity.
Yeah.
At Trinity's Fellowship Hall.
Yeah. And there will be, there's a couple of topics on the agenda, so if you might want to get up to speed a little bit on those. Okay, and so now that would be item number H. We've filled Warren's position until February of 2021. Board of Adjustments, that one has been light as well for a while. And we have Deb Green, who has applied for that position. And we could ask Gordon if he would be willing to look at that one. I mean, I could guess that's a possibility. But Deb has actually applied for that one. So I'd make a motion to appoint Deb to the Board of Adjustments.
And I'll second that.
Is that green is on the color green?
Pardon me?
Is that green is on the color green?
Yeah, green. Mm-hmm. G-R-E-E-N. She's from the Blyberg and Homer. And it looks like we don't have anybody from Homer right now, so that kind of makes sense. We got Dakota City, Hubbard, South Sioux, Emerson. So it would kind of make sense to get somebody from that Homer area.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
And then maybe we can talk to Gordon about whether he'd be interested in another adjustment, because that's kind of what would I call that? A review board? Or
it's an appeal board.
Appeal board.
Board from the zoning. Mm-hmm.
So you'd be kind of encompassing. So we'd get one of the spots filled, and then we'd still have one that we can fill next time. Is that fine with the group? Can we do that,
yeah.
John? Leave one vacant for now and just appoint one for now? And then talk to Gordon?
And I'll put it back on the next agenda if he's willing.
If he's willing.
What I'm thinking? Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Or wondering.
Yeah. I don't think we have much of an option if we've only got one applicant.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that's what we can do. I'll make a note of that. All right, so that concludes our miscellaneous agenda. Item number 6 is Commissioner Committee Reports. Any Commissioner Committee Reports?
I don't have anything.
I don't have anything either. I haven't had any meetings lately. Oh, I did go to the, groundbreaking for the HOTEC facility that's been right across the street from the building that's already up. Nice event, and they actually let us tour some of the townhouses, and they were very nice. And another house, very nice.
Good.
And they're going to, they announced that they're going to put Sweetwater on the lower level of that building. So it's going to have a restaurant, cafe, with a drive-thru on the lower level. So it was very, very nice.
Good.
Any mail and emergency business? Number 7. I don't have any mail or emergency business. Anybody? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that, can we adjourn the commissioners' meeting?
All right.
And it is
2:34.
2:34. Okie dokie.
Okay. We will call to order the Dakota County Board of Equalization for the October 19th meeting. It is 2:34.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Martin and Tony are absent.
I will make a motion to excuse Marty and Tony.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We will start with the consent agenda items. There is only one. It's the approval of the previous minutes from October 5th of 2020.
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second it.
Janet?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. We'll review property valuation protest related to the agricultural grassland by considering all papers relating to the protest and findings, recommendations of the referee, and may make the order recommended by the referee or any other order in the judgment of the Board of Equalization required by the findings of the referee, may hear additional testimony, may set aside such findings and hear the protest anew. This is the grassland was, I can't remember what LG that was, but basically just, we discussed it quite a bit, just changing valuations.
Is this the one Ruth Sorensen just ruled on? Okay. You want to explain?
Yeah, I got it.
Yep.
So I guess what are we?
I'm not.
Protest 82, 1, 2, and 3, is that what we're?
Yeah, I think we have, there were only three that I am aware of that protested against our over, or under and or overvaluation. And apparently when we approved that, we reset a date for them to protest, which they did. They met the date. But according to Ruth, I don't have it all in front of me, right? I got some of it. But she said we were to have talked to them by September 15th. So now the board, the authority for this now would then be defaulted to the TURC. So if these three individuals wish to pursue anything, they would have to go straight to the TURC, is my understanding. According, I think it's the statute's in the email on there, and I glanced over it, and it looks like that's what the deal is. And I don't know if any of them want to go to TURC or anything like that. I don't know if we have to send them a letter.
Did Daryl talk to all of them?
Pardon me?
Did Daryl talk to all of them?
Do you know? I know for sure Daryl talked with JP. And JP at that time was kind of shocked he talked to anybody. He thought it was a done deal already. And Daryl, after speaking with JP, Daryl came back and presented to Christy and I all of his review and what his findings were. And he said there's some things out there that are different than what we have in our record as far as the asphalt versus cement on the runway, which is a huge increase in value. Some other things with tanks, and so there's some other stuff. So Daryl's recommendation to our office was let's just leave it alone at whatever we had it at. And he said, and then next year he gave us all the information to roll it to. And he said if they have any issues next year and want to go to TURC, he would take care of it for us. So Daryl's already been out there and saw it. So if he still wants to go to TURC, then Daryl would be who I would recommend we take to TURC with us then on it. Because he has all the photos, the conversation, and everything on it. As it sits now, he's equalized with everything. You know, we did the LB, I think it was 387, Erdman's bill, Senator Erdman's bill that we fought for a year, and then just, it was obvious they weren't going to listen to anybody. But it did create an issue with two. Most people, I think ultimately there wasn't a huge value change. A couple of them that protested, one of them was JP on his ground. And the other one on the Berkeley grounds, the same thing. I mean, it was an increase of $6,310. It went from $829,715 to $836,025. So, but she's equalized. If, you know, if they want to go to TURC, that's perfectly fine. I think they have until December 31st to do that. It's just an equalization question, and we've got the information from the state, the letter from the state, the spreadsheet from the state that dictated what soil types we were to change to equalize to, and we've got the legislative bill. So Christy or anyone could handle that for us. She doesn't need anything else on that. It's just an equalization question. Really for JP as well on his ag ground if he chooses to try to pursue it. Those were both ag. The other one we did was Homer because we had an equalization issue with Homer. I think there were 21 parcels in Homer that had more than 1 acre of ground, and the table adjustments didn't account for it, so they were significantly lower than the new square foot price people. So we got protests coming in on that, so we did a correction on that same thing, undervalued, and only one person came back in on that, and that was, and I haven't spoke with them, Mr. Jessen, Larry, and I don't know where he's at or what they want to do with it. But again, it's equalization. He's totally equalized with everybody else that has more than an acre in Homer. So everything the board did was fine. We did what the state recommended us to do and followed suit. And they just won't let us now do make any adjustments or anything to it. If they want satisfaction, they're just going to have to go to TURC. Is our understanding. And like I said, I got to call Ruth back anyway today, but I've got a quick note out to her too to verify that I have that understanding all correct. And all right. Scott Shaver, I apologize, there's two. So Ruth's other attorney is Scott, so I got a note into Scott as well. So we'll find out on that. So I don't think the board has any action then on these that we need to worry about for these three, other than they need to be notified that they have until December 31st to go to TURC if that's what they wish to do.
All right.
Looks like Ruth responded to you.
Oh, she did? Is that what?
Yeah. You're correct. The only option available for those who filed a protest as a result of undervaluation, overvaluation change to have a hearing at this point is to file a protest with TURC on or before December 31st.
Okay. So we would just need to let them know that, I guess, and we're fine. So that would be the end of that for us. I don't know where that was. Marty on there?
Yeah.
He didn't give up on it.
Do we need to read the parcel number?
You got it on. Marty's talking at me.
Or just take no action.
So I don't think we need to take an action on it then.
We have no authority to do anything.
Yeah, I think we're hands off now on it unless they go to TURC.
So these are the valuations, and they will be notified that we can't do anything
with
the board this way.
This, yeah.
Oh, well, that was simple.
Yeah, so that should clean. Hopefully that keeps us clean on those three. And I believe there were only three from the over-under list. That was the first three that came, protests that came back.
All right. Well, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks.
Good.
All right, well, we will take no action on that. And item B, the treasurer requesting approval of Form 457, an application for exemption from motor vehicle taxes by qualifying nonprofit, that being Haven House. We do these every year, but tell us what you got.
He approved it. Okay. He just told me today that he approved it, and we get it every year from him.
Okay, and this vehicle is going to be a 2016 Dodge wagon?
Mm-hmm, four-door wagon, yeah.
Okay, and I mean, Haven House is definitely a nonprofit organization.
Correct.
I mean, that's not going to be an issue. It looks like stuff is filled out correctly, and I guess all I need is a motion to approve this request.
I'll make a motion to approve their exemption status for that vehicle.
I'll second it.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, thank
you. All right,
you.
Thank you. Okay, we will move on to mail and or emergency business. I don't believe we have any. We will go to public comment for the Board of Equalization. There's no public comment, so we will adjourn. It is 2:46. Thanks for staying on, Marty.